it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Tuesday to you. Gorgeous day out there. If you're on the stream, which, by the way, you can join us anytime on Facebook or YouTube. You can watch us do what we do. And you can see that I have three ladies here with me in studio. Brandi Jelks is the Diamond Divas Program Director. Kim Jones, Living on Purpose Coaching. And Kimberly Beardsley is with Purina, talking about the 5th Annual Domestic Violence Awareness Rally and Walk, which is happening this Saturday, October 18th. Ladies, welcome to KMOX.
Thank you.
Thank you for
having us.
So, obviously, very dark, very important topic, which most of these things are, right? If you go to a walk or a rally, it's Alzheimer's, it's you know, suicide prevention. Who wants to talk first? Tell me about it.
So this is our 5th annual domestic violence and rally and walk. So what we did, like you said, things are dark. Some type of tragedy has happened behind these causes. Likewise, but in this case, we want to celebrate survivorship. Right. We want to celebrate the advocates that do the work, the families that support and things like that. So we bring together a good time to celebrate and also bring recognition to really what's going on. Yeah. One of the biggest things is we have expanded our resource track. So the track. So we started off with one double block. Now we're at two double blocks. And the goal is to be the biggest resource fair this year in 2025, making sure that they're there so individuals that are going through domestic violence or have come out, that they have the support and the agencies and the resources that they need. You might still be in, but come down because there are agencies that can assist because it's so silent, right? A lot of people, where do I go when I leave? How do I get out? Things like that. So we want to make sure that we create a place where all the resources are there. If it be for you, a friend, whoever that is, you know, to be able to get the resources and know and make a plan. We need a safety plan when you leave these situations. So that's the whole goal behind it. As well as we have the marching band that leads our rally. We have the dance teams. It's like a mini parade, a rally, a walk. We have warm up with Chaz Joy. And then this year for our 5th annual, we're having our finale performer is going to be Dirty Mugs.
Nice. Very cool.
So, yeah.
So I don't know, thank God, much about this personally. This hasn't touched my life yet.
Right.
But I used to be an attorney and I did a lot of divorce work. And what I can tell you from my experience is, unlike a lot of issues, this is no respecter of person. Black, white, rich, poor. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't discriminate.
Illegal immigrant, citizen, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely. People are in situations like this. And like you said, it's silent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's even, and it's not just because it's behind closed doors, but many times it's silent, like you don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. You don't tell your mom. You don't tell your sister or brother.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you're dealing with embarrassment.
Yes.
You're dealing with isolation.
Yes.
That's the number one thing. They want to get you away from people that care about you so they don't have the opposition of telling you.
Especially if it's happened before.
Right.
And then it's, I told you. What do you expect to happen? I told you.
Right. Yep. So
it impacts 1 in 3 women and 1 in 4 men. So I think people just don't even understand how prevalent it is. And that, you know, if you're sitting in a group of 3 people, that most likely one of those people has been impacted by this.
Yeah. Go have lunch with your girlfriends and somebody's going through something.
Yeah. I have so much change for me. I think most men are like this. When I had a daughter, I have a 20-year-old daughter at KU.
Right.
And it's all I think about. It's all it's like I worry about it all the time. Like boyfriends, getting roofied. So you just like with my son, whether I should or shouldn't have, it was just like, go have a good time at Mizzou, you know, don't get arrested. Mm-hmm. And with my daughter, it's just constant hand wringing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Don't do this. Make sure you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Don't trust this person. And you hate. you hate to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you have to teach young women and men. Mm-hmm. You have to teach them, but you don't want to just scare them, you know, so that they don't have a life. And it's a fine line.
But I think everybody needs to be aware. We service intimate partner. Our grants are for intimate partner relationships. So that can look many different ways. Mm-hmm. So we know LGBTQ, a lot of them do not come forward. Mm-hmm. They're dealing with a lot of things in silence, or the police are showing up. It's a cat fight. It's two women fighting. No, that's a domestic violence, an intimate partner situation that needs to be addressed appropriately.
Yeah.
As well as men. We service men as well. So we have men that, like you said, they need to be empowered. They need to not be diminished as a man, things like that, that will put them in those situations sometimes. As mm-hmm. well. So yeah. We are dealing with a wide spectrum. Like I said, it does not discriminate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any way to know? I'm sure there are lots of statistics out there that I don't know, but is there any way to know, is it getting any better? Is it getting less prevalent? Is it getting worse?
So, no, it's still, it's just consistent.
Yeah.
So, it's consistent what it is. What I have seen, though, what we're dealing with is more violent. The abuse is more violent. We're talking about gun violence and retaliation towards not even them, but even their families and things like that. Now, there has been an uptick in women responding, and we have some clients that have actually shot and killed their abuser. So looking at those cases, now we're able to see what it looks like on this side and also the other side, just helping them get reestablished.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Kimberly, is Purina like a sponsor? Are you guys?
Yeah. So Purina's been involved in this issue for almost a decade because mm-hmm. we know that only 3% of domestic violence shelters accepted pets, and almost half of abuse survivors would delay leaving because they couldn't take their pet with them. So over the past 8 to 10 years, we established the Purple Leash Project that provides grants to domestic violence providers so that they can make renovations and can accept families with pets. And right now we're sitting at about 20% of all shelters accept pets now. There's one in every state that accepts pet, but we still have a lot of work to do. And so we've been supporting the Rally Walk for about 4 years now. And what I love about this event is, like Brandy said, it really is celebrating survivors. As much as it's a dark issue, it's a really upbeat atmosphere mm-hmm. to be at on Saturday. And it's really, bringing all of the resources together, all the groups that care and can help and can support, bringing those together and really showing up for the community.
So, Kim, do you do work with people who've been abused?
I do. So at Living with Purpose, we service the whole person, whatever that looks like. I've gotten calls from Brandy that said, hey, Kim, we got an individual who needs help with education, employment, family formations, which is teaching families how to function and structure within one another. We jump right in. Yes. without a doubt. It's just something that it's prevalent in our community where we're located in the Baden Riverview community. So we see it a lot, and we are able to call Brandy as well and say, hey, Brandy, we got a situation. Can you help us out? So it's a definitely a give and take relationship. We jump in wherever we can and however we can.
What advice would you give for someone who maybe isn't going through domestic violence themselves, but maybe a friend or family member is? I think I had seen a stat a couple times. It's like it can take 7 times before you
seven
fully
and 10 times
to fully leave the situation. That's got to be at times frustrating, discouraging for other people in your life. What advice would you give to those people who are trying to support the victim trying to leave the situation? What's the best way to offer support without overstepping or just doing something wrong?
Just continue to support them.
Okay.
And it might look different, right? It might look like at first, like you're all in and then you help them and then they go back.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up on them. Because it's going to take 7 to 10 times for them to fully get that out their system. So it might look different the second time. So, I can help you with this. I can help you with that. Then another, a lot of people's like, just leave. People say that. It's not a just leave. People are uprooting their whole lives sometimes and moving them and their children somewhere. So we have to, if you're going to truly offer help, give them the resources. What does this look like? Help them make a plan. offer a you can stay here for 3 months until you're able to, but these are the guidelines because we know that there's a possibility, you know, to return. But what does that look like? And set boundaries for yourself because it's very emotional. It's hard for family to stay in that space, but it might just look different every time that they do go back. But just never all the way give up on them because that could be the time they truly need you. They're truly ready. That could be life or death as well.
And it really is one of those until you walk a mile in someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. Because, and I'm just kind of spitballing here from my experience as a divorce attorney, but an abuser usually doesn't present as a monster. Right. And they can be very charming, mm-hmm. and they have some sort of hold on that person, mm-hmm. that a lot of times it's not just, I don't have a place to go, I don't have the money to do this. They don't want to leave that person. They have that hold on them. And mm-hmm. Kim, you must see that all the time.
I do. And honestly, I'm a survivor myself. I was in a 13-year relationship that was, it didn't get physical until the end. But it was very verbal, emotional. I mean, it was a lot. It was a lot. And actually, what's funny is after I left that situation, doors opened left and right for me. My life changed. But I put it so far in the back of my mind to the point where I didn't acknowledge that I was a survivor until maybe 2024. Yeah, yeah. Maybe about 2024. When Brandy had asked me to speak at one of their programs that they host, and I was at that program, I was about to walk out, you guys. I was about to leave because I'm like, wait a minute, I just got triggered. This is me. Like, I see these individuals up here talking and telling their story. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. I'm a survivor. I did not acknowledge it for years. So they helped me to acknowledge that I went through that. I overcame it. I was okay. And I didn't even realize it because I was just like, nope, we're going to keep it back there. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. So I am grateful for Diamond Diva, what they do, because they truly help people.
Yeah. Outside of the rally this Saturday,
right.
Tell me about what you guys do and how people get in touch with you.
Okay. So Diamond Diva Empowerment Foundation, we work with survivors of domestic violence. We assist them with re-stabilizing their lives, right? So after you've left a situation, what does that look like for you? So we are funded by the City of St. Louis with the Office of Crime Prevention of Crimes. So what we do there, that grant allowed us to start doing 2-week hotel stays. So if you are fleeing a situation, we can put you in a hotel, give you 2 weeks to kind of figure some things out and what is your next step. And with those funds, that just really, a lot of people are fleeing and don't know where to go. There's only one other, I think, agency that really does emergency shelter when you're leaving a situation. And that's one of the most critical times. The death rate goes up to 75% when you're fleeing a situation. So having a plan is a big thing. I'm going to keep talking about that plan. So we are able to assist with those plans. The other part of it is, too, 57% of individuals that flee a situation or leave a domestic violence home will end up homeless. They most likely will end up homeless. So we want to prevent. So we're not just fighting domestic violence. We're also that homelessness as well. So we can make sure these families stay together and we get them a good place, you know, safe place for them and their families. And then the guts of our program, where we really start, was first and last month's rent is what we help and try to get them connected with landlords that would give them second chance if there were evictions and different things like that. So it was really a housing program. And for a long time, people was like, oh, they have a shelter. No, we know that there's a housing or a bed shortage. There's a bed shortage in these shelters. We cannot, you know, supply beds for everybody that's homeless. So it was like, okay, what's creative? What can we do that people, because ultimately you want to get out of the cycle of the actual shelter. So what we started doing was paying first and last month's rent, helping them get stabilized. Along with that, we have an educational program where we do financial literacy, bringing those that skill set back, or if they never had that skill set, if they were financially abused or never taught during childhood, teaching those skills. We partner with a lot of banks, So, yeah, so those are our programs, and you can get in touch with us at www.2def.org. And our number is 314-328-4348.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Nice work. So this Saturday, October 18th, when, where, what times?
Okay, when, where. So we're going to be in the Grove.
Okay.
Our event pre-registration is at 9. If you have not already registered, it's a free registration. We want people to come out and support this cause. It's a free registration. You can purchase your shirt once you get there. If there are any left, there will be limited shirts, but they will be on site that day, and we will walk and rally until 2 o'clock. So we will have, it'll be jam-packed with entertainment, hearing survivors speak about their, you know, their the things that they have overcome and all of that great stuff. And there'll be a lot of merchandise. There'll be the dogs. Perina will be there. They'll be taking pictures. Living with Purpose will be there. They'll be giving out all their great things. Walmart is one of our sponsors as well. So they're the title sponsor. So the stage and the Dirty Mugs brought to us by them. So we just want the community to come together because everybody knows somebody that has been affected by domestic violence.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, how does that look? Support looks different in all kind of ways. Just coming to one of these rallies, getting the information because we just never know.
Nice work, ladies.
Thank
Good luck
you.
On Saturday.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, give a little bit of your time to me.
Eyes too wide.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Maybe I should buy some.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and Camo X, our radio brother Dave Hines. Y'all always do fantastic segments with nonprofits. Really feel like I got a good idea of who they are and what they're all about. Dave, that means a lot. Thank you. Jake, serious question. Why so many commercial breaks? above my pay grade, Jake.
That's, pay the bills.
Paying the bills.
It's not that many. It's no different than any other station, though, really. Because sometimes a lot of people will tie the newscasts into quote-unquote breaks, but newscasts are, that's content. That's not a break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not us, but it's still content.
Yeah. And all I can tell you is we do a lot of like live endorsements. That is just a sign of a healthy show.
Yeah.
So we should be around for a while longer.
Like, yes, that's a good point.
If you notice,
when you stop hearing commercials, that's not a good sign.
Yeah. It's time to find another show.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting.
Very interesting. I really
Scary.
Loved talking to those ladies. I didn't, you know, that segment flew by. Like, we ran out of time to ask questions. I really hope that Diamond Diva Foundation is going to schools and other community events. It is so vital to communicate this kind of information to young people so they know what to look out for. Not to victim blame him in any way, but it is just very helpful to be like, okay, here's how these situations can start. If you can get that kind of knowledge to someone early, it might prevent them from ever being in a situation like that. So,
yeah.
But just having conversations like that, extremely important, and they do an amazing job of getting their message across.
Did you guys get to hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, really wonderful stuff. I was excited about this segment. I knew it was going to be... It's such an important thing, and it's not something that there are...
I mean, 1 in 3 women.
That's yeah.
Just,
it's
that's
for,
insane.
For, yeah. For as widespread as it is, there aren't enough, you know, foundations and support groups that deal with things like this. You know what I mean? It's sort of a, in my opinion, it's sort of a blind spot in the community sometimes. Yeah. So being able to highlight people like Diamond Divas is just
it's
really
one of
wonderful.
Those things, man. So much of this and so much of what we do is about bringing things out from the margins. Like the way I talk about being mentally ill, just so that you can start the conversation, because conversation about any topic is one of the most important and powerful things you can do.
Nowadays you can't be too smooth.
Welcome back, DGS 232. Best radio guest in the world, attorney Brad Young joined us now. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Dave.
Brad, what kind of music are you into?
Well, what you were playing right there, you know, I was listening to Foreigner back when I had hair. So it was, in fact, I think Foreigner was the first concert I ever saw down at SIU Carbondale.
Sweet. That's a good first concert, man.
Oh, it was great. Except my buddy, he had used some substances that were illegal at the time.
Sure.
And he kept staring at the bathroom door instead of the concert the whole time.
So, that'll happen.
To this day, I don't think he remembers the concert.
How much hair did you have at your best?
Oh, man. There's a picture of me behind my drum set when I was playing for a rock band, and I had hair down to my shoulders.
I got to see it.
You know, oh, it's a good one. But now, of course, if I've got hair on my ears, I think it's a good hair.
Isn't that true? Dude, you're so right. You're so right.
He's got a comb up.
I don't have hair on my head, but it's everywhere else. And then
no doubt.
Every now and then, Brad, I don't know if you'll do this, but it's just like God just poking me. Every now and then, I will wake up with like a 2-inch hair growing out of my forehead. And I'm like, really?
Yes.
Serious? What, am I going to part it?
Yeah. I wonder, you know, how is this one follicle survive whatever massive amount of genes that has destroyed all my rest of my hair?
You're
how
right.
did this one survive? I don't know.
It's a desert rose. Fighting against the elements. I'm here. Look at me. I'm still blonde. Let's talk about a couple court cases. Court to consider circumstances in which police may enter a home during an emergency.
Yeah, this is interesting. This comes out of Montana, and a guy's girlfriend calls the cops and says, hey, my boyfriend's going to commit suicide. Come quickly. So the cops show up. And they knock at the door, pound on the door. Guy doesn't come to the door. They look at the window. He's a window open. They yell, no answer. They see an open holster of a pistol, but there's no gun. And they see a notepad that the cops said they thought it was a suicide note. So they break down the door. They go in. The guy isn't dead, but he shoots the cops when they come in. They don't kill the cops, but he wounds them. And then they arrest him for lots of things that they found inside the house. His argument is the cops showed up, broke down the door, didn't have a warrant. And so therefore the search and seizure is illegal. It's going up to the Supreme Court on this issue of what does it take if cops think it's an emergency? You know, what is the standard supposed to be applied for the police? Are they supposed to just stand there and do nothing until they get a warrant, which could take days? Or are they allowed to go in the house if they think that there is a medical emergency? That's what the court's going to deal with.
See, Rach, this is literally what you do in law school.
It's fun.
Yeah, you just and you argue and the professor calls you a moron. So where do you come down on this one, Brad?
Well, there's a couple of cases going back to 2006, which uses a weird standard. They say an objective, reasonable standard for them to enter without a warrant. And the guy in this case, the shooter, he wants it to be probable cause. Hmm. And probable cause, as you know, is one of the highest standards to get what they could enter the house without a warrant. I don't think the court's going to go that high, because if you look at this case, they did have objective evidence. They had the testimony of the girlfriend. They had the knocking at the door and no answer. They had they could see through the window that there was an empty gun holster. And so that's objective evidence for them to conclude that this guy's going to hurt himself if he hasn't already. So I see the court upholding it in this case, allowing the cops to go in and search.
Because in this case, it went all sideways. But you can imagine another case where the guy is going to commit suicide. They don't go in. He shoots himself and then they're in trouble for that.
Right, because then the family sues and said, well, you knew or should have known that he was going to commit suicide, so you should have gone in and stopped him. Now we're going to sue you. Yeah, it's one of those things with cops so often. Literally, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But here I do see the Supreme Court upholding the Montana Supreme Court and saying that this was a valid search.
Brad, do you think this ties in at all, is in any way connected to, not directly, but like maybe in the outcome of this case, to a lot of the swatting cases that we've seen where people are calling and saying this person's a threat, they're going to go shoot it up and, you know, send the police, and then everybody goes, you know, goes in because you're thinking this person's an immediate threat?
Yeah, that's a great question, Wheels, because does that call in of itself amount to objective, reasonable evidence to enter a place without a warrant. I don't know that a call does. But if you have a call, like in this case, you have a call combined with their own visual evidence when they arrived at the scene.
Right.
I think that clearly rises to that level. But I do think that's still an open-ended question. If they just receive an anonymous call, the person doesn't identify themselves, and then they show up with the SWAT team, can they break down the door? You know, that happened in Kentucky, and people died because the cops showed up at the wrong house.
Right.
And they shot and killed somebody. So there has to be some line in the sand to say, this is okay, this is not okay, and hopefully the court's going to give us that line.
So, Brad, a couple more stories to get to. I have to do this one first because we have to talk about St. Louis sheriff headed to jail while he awaits trial.
Yes. We talked about this briefly the other day, about this train wreck of a situation with Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. But listen, this is a great example of one of those situations where his initial crime wasn't all that serious. That was, he handcuffed an employee. It was on video. She didn't commit a crime. They just had a disagreement, and he fired her. And so he had her cuffed and perp walked out. I mean, that's bad enough. But once he was charged with that, and that's when the whole Andrew Bailey quo warranto action started. Then, though, now the cops have recordings of telephone calls where he's calling his employees. He's telling them not to cooperate with the FBI. He's firing individuals who did cooperate. He even bought a burner phone so that he couldn't be recorded. The judge asked him if he had a burner phone. He says no. And then the police show up with records of him buying a burner phone. So, I mean, this guy could write the book on what not to do. And he's been under house arrest wearing the ankle bracelets. But now he's going to the Gray Bar Motel now because the judge put him in jail because of his risk of continuing to tamper with witnesses.
Any thoughts on that, guys? I think we're all just kind of rolling our eyes.
Yeah. Did you see? I don't know if you guys saw it. I saw it during the break. But the mayor has now commented on this situation on Twitter. Basically, it was probably about 25 minutes ago, something along those lines, basically saying this has gotten out of hand. He should resign, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that was the situation with Kim Gardner, that once the mayor came out and said, yeah, I can't support you anymore, Kim Gardner. I mean, that was the handwriting on the wall, as it were. But in this case with Alfred Montgomery, his quo warranto action is going to trial on November 14. And I do see him being removed from office on November 14, or as soon as the judge renders a decision in that case.
Brad, you know, if he is removed from office, whether it's him resigning tomorrow or waiting till that November 14th date, what would they then have a special election at that point?
Boy, I haven't looked at the rules on whether they'd have to have a special election or whether there could be an appointment made until the next available election. Those are generally the two options. It would be kind of expensive to have an election just for this.
Yes.
So it may be that there would be an interim sheriff until such time as there could be another election. That would certainly be a lot cheaper.
Supreme Court takes up Republican attack on Voting Rights Act in case over black representation.
Yeah, this is a situation that you know, continues to be a problem, because what you have is that you have a situation where the Voting Rights Act requires that you don't split up districts to eliminate minority voting. And that's something that we're dealing with right now, even in Missouri, when it comes over to Kansas City. But here's what's interesting about this Louisiana situation. The court ruled, I don't think it was the Supreme Court, but the Court of Appeals ruled back in 2020 that this one attempt to redistrict Louisiana was invalid because it was an attempt to bust up a traditional black voting district. So a group of, and they're called, and I'm quoting here, quote, non-African-American voters, unquote, that's the name of it. They filed a lawsuit saying under the Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, you cannot use race as a factor, because now you are discriminating against the white people based upon the decision to not allow this district to be gerrymandered. So now you've got two different things that are being pitted against each other. You have the Voting Rights Act, which is a law signed into law by President Johnson in 1964. You've got that on the one side, and then you've got the 14th Amendment on the other. How do you resolve this conflict? This is going to be not just an interesting case intellectually, but it's going to impact all of these attempts to gerrymander and redistrict voting districts across the country, whether it's in California or right here in Missouri or elsewhere. This is the case that will decide those issues.
And which way do you think it'll go?
Wow. This could be a close decision. I don't see, well, let me pause, because John Roberts at the Supreme Court has been a strong advocate of saying the way you stop discriminating on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. And so I could see a majority here saying that because you are in essence discriminating on the basis of race when you create these voting districts that cannot be touched, I could see the court saying that race can no longer be used when it comes to the establishment of voting districts. I could see that happening.
We're just talking about the shutdown and how it's definitely quiet right now out of Washington. What do you think is going to happen here?
I think this is going to be a long, long shutdown because unlike shutdowns in the past where we've seen a lot of angst, I mean, there's not a lot of angst. I mean, the public is kind of like, yeah, well, so what? We know it's going to get resolved eventually. It always does. I'm not all that worried about it. I think it's going to take some type of crisis for this to be over. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that crisis is going to be some sort of a airline crash or something with the air traffic controllers who go on strike and it shuts down all of the airports across the country. There's going to have to be something massive to force both parties to negotiate, because right now I don't think anybody cares. As long as that happens, the government will be shut down.
All right, buddy. You're the best. Thank you, Brad.
My pleasure.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Daylight. 250 DGS, happy Tuesday to you. Stream's active today. It's fun. John Poe says he's digging my Expos throwback jersey. Thank you, John. One of my favorites. It's almost time for the baseball jerseys to go away, boys.
No.
Time for the football jerseys?
I don't know. I kind of go from, I mean, this year, this is my first year to wear baseball jerseys every day. But I usually go from V-necks to hoodies.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's...
Winter clothes are hard for me.
Long sleeve hooded baseball jersey season.
You know, like the stuff I used to wear when I was younger, I'm not going to wear now.
All right.
I was big on like button down Oxfords with a sweater vest.
Oh.
Really like that
when
look.
When is it turtleneck season?
I loved turtlenecks.
Did you?
I can no longer wear them because I look too much like a turtle.
They're doing their job.
But before I did, yeah. I used to like them.
There was a time I had a few and now I can't stand it.
I just don't
like it. Yeah, the mock ones are all right, but yes. Even that still feels like a lot.
Couldn't agree more. I'm fine with a mock neck, but having all that fabric around your neck, it can feel very claustrophobic.
Should I go for the cravat season during the winter?
I would love that.
There's no way.
That would make my year.
Not unless they have clip-ons.
I would be like, are you feeling okay? What's going on with you?
What if I went with scarves? Again, I'm not making fun of anybody else. I'm just saying it would be hilarious on me.
Jake says they better wear a Bulger jersey, otherwise he'd be upset. Jake, I have a funny story about that. When Mark was traded to the Ravens, they were going to play the Steelers. And Mark's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he sent me his new Ravens jersey. And I was flying out to watch him play at Pittsburgh. And I'm like, I'll proudly wear my Ravens jersey. He goes, don't. And I'm like, oh, don't worry about it, buddy. I'm fine. He's like, literally, you'll get killed.
He didn't want you getting beat up.
Yeah, he's like, no offense, but you're not Pittsburgh tough or Baltimore tough. Don't wear my jersey to the Pittsburgh stadium. So, yeah.
And then especially, you know, be associated. Well, though he's probably still really popular in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, just hometown kid, played college there.
I would think so.
Well, he didn't play college. He went to West Virginia, but yeah.
Yes.
Right down the road.
You guys know what Shrekking is?
I don't know.
No, and I'm a little afraid to guess.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
So, it's a social term, which means basically dating beneath your station.
Yeah, that's pretty mean.
Like, Fiona went with Shrek, and it worked out pretty well, and Shrek wasn't very attractive. Then again, Fiona wasn't a prize. And now it's being co-opted professionally. That Shrekking professionally is working at a job that's beneath you so that you can look like a rock star.
Doesn't say much about you.
Yeah, I don't understand how it's like, and I look good. Like,
you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start hanging around with grade school kids so I feel tall.
Yeah.
It's kind of it.
I want to play basketball against 10-year-olds. I mean, dominate those little jerks.
Do you think there's anything to it, Rage, of an empirically attractive woman trying to hang out with empirically less attractive women?
I mean,
we used to talk about that back in the day. The guys would be like, oh, she's just hanging out because blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I think, I don't know if it's like confined to women, but I do know what you're talking about. You know, I think there are some personality types where it's like, yeah, I want to be on top, so let me enter into a situation where it's just easier or more expected for me to be on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that absolutely can happen.
Yeah, again, that probably doesn't speak well of how you think of yourself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no offense to my former friends or my current friends, but my move has always been to be king of the nerds. Like, just in my neighborhood, I happen to have been, like, the best athlete.
There's a difference between comfort and achievement, right?
Yes.
If you're comfortable around a group of people, that's fine. Then they're your people.
Yeah.
If you're, like, professionally going, I don't want to work very hard. I'll look better if I'm in this place where I'm not really living up to my potential. Well, that's a different thing. If you're comfortable around people, that's all that matters with who you hang out with.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.